Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Good morning, David. Thank you for having me.
Oh, listen, thanks for being here. And well done on the book, Pop Scars.
Thank you so much. It's been quite the, well, it was quite the roller coaster living it. And now it's quite the roller coaster getting all this, you know, connecting to people like you. And you don't realize when you write a book who it's going to get to.
Absolutely.
And it's just been brilliant. I'm so grateful for the feedback and reaction so far.
Well, let's go back to the start if we can, right? Let's go back to the beginning of your career, because I think people will definitely remember you, but they may not know the story of how you began. So the book begins when you're 18 and you're a pop star. So let's kind of start there. How did you get signed? How did you get to a point where you were ready to release music?
So I was working at McDonald's. I'd been fired for stealing a Filet-O-Fish,
wow,
which was a silver lining. But I used to buy Smash Hits every 2 weeks. I was obsessed with it. I'd look at it inside out. I'd look at the cover and I'd think, I want to be on that one day.
Wow.
And I don't know if I manifested it or what. I was musical. I was into music. I could sing, but not really a show off, but in my own little bedroom, you know. And I met a well-known music manager out of the blue in a nightclub one night. We tried to get in two others. We couldn't get in, but we managed to get in this one. There he was. And we exchanged, we collided.
Yeah.
He gave me his business card and it literally went from there, you know. So literally fired from McDonald's on the, I think it was the Sunday, and on the Friday, yeah, I was being signed.
The business card with the manager.
Yeah.
That is so brilliant. Okay, so then let's talk about the fact that the book then, as you said, picks up from those moments on. I mean, your career was so quick. It was so stellar. You were touring with Boyzone. You were signed to the Spice Girls management and label and all that. But
yeah, the label, yeah.
Yeah, but the difficulties, I suppose, were probably there all along, but you were just beginning to maybe push them aside and figure out other ways of coping. Tell everyone what was going on with you.
Yeah, David. I mean, it was kind of, you know, I think you can... I've been saying this a lot, like I was very ambitious, but I was also very naive. And I think those two things can run parallel together. Kid from a council estate, you know, my dad's from Dublin.
Yep.
And so a big Irish side of the family when this happened, it was so, I mean, people don't see what happens before, you know, you get signed and then there's a good 18 months. So you start writing your album,
yep,
you start preparing, you're in the studio, you're doing all that, but your feet don't touch the ground. And then it's kind of like, I don't know about careful what you wish for, but in my case, there was no time to even think. You just got on with it. I wasn't in a boy band, so it was always just solo.
Yeah.
And I think in a boy band, you sometimes have, well, from what I see, you know, you'd have others to maybe not hide behind.
But there's a buffer.
There's a slight buffer. And listen, I've seen the TV shows. I saw the Louis Theroux documentary, which I wasn't in because I wasn't in the boy band. But, although they did flash my poster up at one point, but I didn't know they were going through it as well.
Of course.
You know? So just because you were in a band doesn't mean that you weren't going through stuff. I was hiding my sexuality as well. So nobody gave me any direction on what to do with that. There was nobody my age that was out at that time. I wasn't really out to myself, let alone anyone else. And then, of course, there was the addiction side, which I didn't realise I had it at that point, but it was only through writing it now, looking back, you see little signs and you think, oh, yeah, I did quite look forward to going back to the hotel and the minibar every night.
Yes.
That became my buffer.
That was your buffer. Your medicine was alcohol.
That was my medicine. Yeah. And, you know, and I can't state that enough. And you know, people, rightly or wrongly so, see addiction as sometimes as a choice. Towards the end of my drinking, which was, by the way, a good 25-year run.
Wow.
You know, I think I've used up all my drink tokens. I think they're gone. It was medicinal.
Okay.
It was, I didn't drink because I want to got drunk. I drunk because it was, I needed it to survive.
You've battled so hard and you've done so well. You're now, am I right in thinking you're 3 years sober now?
Yes, that's right. I'm actually three and a half.
That's fantastic.
It's the longest I've ever been. Yeah. And
how are you feeling today? Are you feeling good? Like when you wake up in the morning, are you in a good place?
Yeah, I am. I wake up bonkers.
Yeah.
I have the have radio is on its wonky station when I wake up, and I have to tune it in to the right things. I pray to a God that I don't understand, and I just say, "You drive today, please," because my driving didn't quite work.
Right.
And I go to recovery meetings, which are all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it
works for you.
It works for me a day at a time,
yeah.
And it gives me access to this new life where I can be creative again. And it's no coincidence that the first thing I've done in sobriety is this book.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to do stuff for years and it's not worked.
And what's funny is talking to you now, when I read the book, it's so in your voice. You did not have anyone else. You didn't have anyone else write this for you, did you?
No, I
didn't. No, it's so obvious. Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and the audio's a whole other experience, apparently. I mean, God help the person listening to it, because it's not my dulcet tone.
I love the Manchester accent.
I know, I'm doing impressions and all sorts. I was getting real carried away with it.
I'm just interested to know what you think about 2025 versus when you were at the height of your fame and you were going through everything you were going through, with dealing with your sexuality, addiction, you know, the excesses of pop star life. Do you think now that there are things in place that might help a kid who gets the chance to follow the path that you followed? Or do you think it's probably still the same that, you know, you guys are there to be consumed and people don't really look after you?
Right. Well, I have not been around for a long time, as it just tells you why I'm in the book, you know, I mean, but this time around doing stuff, for example, I did the TV show Lorraine a couple of weeks ago, and it was Christine Lampard who was the...
Oh, Christine was doing it, right, yeah.
Yeah, she was lovely, and because Lorraine sometimes isn't on, as we know, and God bless her for that, you know, that's her thing. But... well, not her thing, that sounds bad, but they have different guests.
Yeah, different presenters.
Yeah. Christine was on. And I got an email. I've never had this before with a TV show. They said, "We will support you with aftercare. We will do this. We will, you know, if anything happens in the interview you're not comfortable with," thinking, blooming heck, like, where was this?
Years ago? Yeah.
So there is obviously stuff in places. What that looks like, I've no idea.
Sure.
But back in the day, we didn't talk about mental health.
No.
We didn't know what that was. You know, I felt depressed at times, but I couldn't complain because my dreams had come true.
Yeah. I really hope now that things are, I believe they are different. I know people in bands, I know people who are working in the industry now, and you do hear better stories, but I would really hope that things are more in place nowadays and people are aware of things like this. Yeah.
You know, and some people that have read the book have said, would you get into doing something like helping us? And I said, absolutely. You know, I mean, I might not be as big as some much bigger names than me, but, you know, I've still got a lived experience. Mm. And it's the feelings that I understand.
Yeah.
Because fame gives us a feeling, right? And that's the feeling I chased for years once it disappeared, and only to realise that actually it doesn't really fix us. It's fleeting, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It comes and goes.
And you mentioned, like, feeling alone, not being in a band, and dealing with this as a solo artist. But didn't you find a little kindred spirit maybe in Stephen Gately and Boyzone? I mean, I know you toured with Boyzone, but I mean, he was dealing with the fact that his sexuality was not yet out to the world and it was outed during his time in Boyzone and all that.
Yeah,
but you guys connected though, didn't you?
We did. And I really wanted to be careful how I approached that in the book because, you know, ultimately, this is an addiction memoir. That's what I see it as. I'm under no illusion I'm some big name to write an autobiography. But, you know, a memoir can be written by anybody.
Yeah.
It's just a story, right? In fact, one of the best memoirs I wrote was by a hairdresser, some crazy guy in New York. He was also an alcoholic, which is probably why I made it more interesting. Probably why I liked it. But, and, you know, I did the Boyzone tour. And, yeah, Stephen was on there and we... It wasn't the biggest romance,
sure,
you know, but we had a connection and we saw in each other the same thing. And it was like this lovely, it was, for want of a better word, a relationship to me.
Yeah.
And I think to him, for a little bit of time. He went on to find great love afterwards, obviously, and stuff like that. But yeah, it was just lovely to see how the lads from Boyzone supported him and looked after him, and I think maybe they probably saw that in me a little bit.
I'd say so.
And took me under the wing a bit, and it was just lovely. Yeah.
Good Irish lads, as we all like to think of ourselves. But your dad was Irish, as you mentioned, from Dublin. Did you get across much as a kid or even as an adult? Did you spend any time here?
The first time I went to Ireland was on the Voice.
Yeah.
Wow. So I was staying at, was it the Shelbourne?
The Shelbourne Hotel, beautiful
staying
spot.
Staying at the Shelbourne, yeah. And so I saw it in quite a privileged place. You know, I was in these posh hotels playing The Pint. Abracababra, does that still exist?
Yeah, it's still here now.
A late night, ended up in Abracababra. And I've been back on the Smash Hits tour, but I've not been for a while. But I do feel very, and I'm not just saying this, but I do feel very Irish.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great to hear.
My surname is Irish.
It is Kavanagh, no doubt about it. You hear that, Anthony Kavanagh, there's no question where your roots are, that's for sure.
Right.
Talk to me about Big Brother as well, because you did that, Celebrity Big Brother, back in, was it 2015?
Yes. Do you know, it was 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was that experience like? I mean, the people who were on with you, I mean, like you're talking about Perez Hilton, Katie Price, Katie Hopkins. What was your experience of that like?
Wow. Well, I'd, again, been in the wilderness for a little while, and then I got the call for another show called The Big Reunion, where they put bands back together, and they put me with some of the solo artists. And I was struggling a bit in that show. Sure. There was an episode where I was drinking and drunk, and you know, I was on stage and I was a mess, and it wasn't great. But because of that, the producers from Big Brother got in touch, because I think they saw I might make good TV.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how it works.
So they're looking for
in those days.
Yeah.
So they hired me, I think, thinking I was going to be a nightmare. And I think I was in one particular episode, but not too much. But Perez Hilton came on the show and he played that card very, very well.
Yeah.
You know.
Right now, as we talk to you, you're 3.5 years sober. You've written this brilliant book, Pop Scars, which I think will really help a lot of people, like you said, maybe not because they're in the world of pop, but because they're dealing with things that you're dealing with on a really human level. It is a book of hope. It genuinely is that. That's what it comes across as. Listen, Kavanagh, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for this book, Pop Scars, and we'll hopefully talk again soon.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Thanks a million. Take care.
See you later, David.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.